Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time once again for Closing the Wealth Gap. The one show, maybe the only show, that shows you how to close the wealth gap in your own life with the man who's done it for many, our wealth coach himself, Tyrone French. Hey, Tyrone.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Closing the Wealth Gap. I'm your host, Tyrone French. What I want you to do is stay connected with me anywhere in the world. What I'd like for you to do is download my free digital app. You're going to get all my information, resources, calculators, everything is me at your fingertip. All you have to do is text Tyrone French to 36260. That's text Tyrone French to 36260, or just go to my website, tyronefrench.coach. You can also just send me an email. Just go to coach@tyronefrench.com if you want to send in your comments, or if you want to cuss me out and leave a message 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just go.
That's a challenge. Yeah. I want to do that.
Hey, here's the phone number, though. 877.
I'm going to give you a piece of my mind.
877-296-5192. 877-296-5192. That being said, without further ado, let's get started. How you doing, Paul?
I got a few things to share with you today here.
The reason I say that, man, because we're living at a time where people are speaking their minds. And you don't have to be politically correct to give me a call and leave a suggestion.
I'm going
to
someday you and I will have a beer and I'll show you the crazy messages I get sent here at OC Talk Radio. You should do a story on this. There's aliens in my town and they're stealing our children. And
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on today. But one of the things that I'm really concerned about, I read an article from Business Insider. And basically what it was saying is that the average American is over $100,000 in debt.
What?
$100,000 in debt.
Wow.
And we're talking totality as far as mortgage payments, credit cards, car payments, things like that. And even college debt, which is like in the news right now, as far as they're trying to, the Biden administration is trying to do some things and the Supreme Court is trying to stop some things as far as trying to forgive the student loan debt. And I had no idea. Yeah, college is a great thing. University is a great thing. You got these titles and this alphabet behind your name. But I was watching this PBS program where this guy was a high school coach and he had so much college debt. He ended up getting married right out of college. And his wife, again, she was a college graduate, so she had a lot of college debt and they couldn't defer it. And so a lot of their paycheck was going towards their debt, so they couldn't buy a house. They put off having kids. So it's all of this debt is really changing people's lifestyles.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I don't understand. We were talking about when I went to college, I thought it was expensive. It was $5,000 a year in the 70s or something to a really good university, a couple grand elsewhere. And now, Jesus, what, $25,000 a semester or more, depending. And you're wishing your kid, you're hoping your kid doesn't get into Harvard or Stanford or whatever, because I can't afford to send them, or UCI or whatever here.
And think about it, you get this degree, and again, I have nothing against higher education, but you have to be intelligent now based on, you know, what career path you're going to take, because
you
it doesn't
have a purpose. I had no purpose. I just got a history. I got my history cap on here. I got a history degree. That and a dollar can't buy you a Coke today here. It wasn't a useful. But in those days, anything would do. French history, French literature. You just got a degree. And then you walked in the lawyer, and everybody knew, said, I got the degree. Even in my case, though, I walked in and I said, here, I got a degree in history. And they went, yeah. I said, but I got it. I did good. I got A's and everything. Yeah, okay. Well, what have you sold? What have you worked? And I didn't do any of that. So it was a real eye-opener to me. And it's only worse. If I came out with $100,000 in debt, and I studied French literature like I knew people did. Fascinating subject. I was almost going to be a Latin major. I was fascinated with Latin. I can still recite Latin if anybody wants to hear. But who the hell wants to hire a Latin major?
I did not want that for my daughter. I live in Long Beach.
Right.
The plan was for my daughter to go to elementary school, middle school, and high school in Long Beach so that when she went to college, just before she graduated, she had the decision to make. Does she want to go to Long Beach Community College or go to Cal State Long Beach? She decided to do the Cal State Long Beach. And then in the process of going to the school, she took a page out of her dad's book. I was going to university in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I got tired of being a broke student. I just got tired of being, so I ended up going to Oklahoma City. I sat down and I took my insurance examination, and I became a life insurance agent in Oklahoma, and I sold life insurance while I was going to school.
Wow, there's a story.
But again, I ended up, because I was making so much money and doing so well, financial planning has always been, it's been easy to me. The concept has been simple to me. And I was ended up helping a lot of people. And so college was the coursework that I was doing. It was taken away from the service that I was providing to the community.
And the money you're making.
And the money that I was making. So my daughter, she understands my background. She decided that she wanted to get out and started working. So she ended up working for Hilton.
Oh, okay.
Great job, great perks. She travels all over the place. And she's staying at these hotels, man, that has the Hilton brand for $50, $75 a night.
Wow.
And loving it. But I said, okay, eventually you're going to either go back to school or you're going to get your insurance license, because based on legacy, I need somebody to take over the reins.
Yeah.
So now she's getting ready to sit for an insurance exam, and she understands that eventually if she'll go back to school and get the diploma. But the thing is, it's not a priority based on her having that degree in order to get to have a career. She's going to have it as a luxury.
Yes.
And for me, it says so much as far as, because a lot of people have that degree and they were dependent on that degree to get a high paying job, and the high paying job never materialized.
More so today than ever. Here we're at University of California, Irvine, great school, but I hear kids coming out, if they haven't thought this through, they don't have a specific job in mind. They're just getting some general studies, some interesting things. And yes, you become a better person, it opens your mind, it teaches you certain skills, but it doesn't get you a job. And that's hard to accept. If you paid $100,000 towards something, it doesn't get you a job.
But the problem is, you got to pay that money back.
Yeah, unless it all gets forgiven here. And then what is that? If I were the one that struggled and paid it and everybody else got to not pay it, I don't think I'd be too happy about that.
Again, what I'm looking at is, even if you...
I get that they're burdened and it's holding them back from advancing. And the real question is, why does it cost $100,000 to go to college?
What the government is looking at is the economy.
Yeah.
They're not looking at the student debt per se, as far as, oh, you made this commitment, you took on this responsibility, things didn't turn out the way you wanted them to turn out, and so now you're burdened with all this debt, and now you're not functioning in society the way we need you to function.
Not getting married, not having kids, not starting a business.
So when you look at the totality of everything, the government responsibility, every government focuses on their economy and GDP, gross domestic product. So when you look at the United States, the GDP, consumer spending, is 70% of the gross domestic product.
We need you out spending
their
money. We
need you out there spending money. So we need you to be productive. And if this debt is prohibiting you from doing that, then we're going to have to do some things to stop this debt. Why? Because we helped to create this monster as far as college being so expensive. Because the minute the government got into it, and the conference, they realized that the universities realized that they had all this money that they can get from the government. And it became not just higher education, but it became a business.
It's a business.
The business of getting a degree.
Yeah.
And so, but again, just looking at the overall debt, we're talking about the ultimate debt reduction plan. That's just one aspect of it. Look at the home prices based on inflation. And what we're doing based on people buying homes. And I'll have friends that'll brag, hey, yeah, we spent $50,000, $100,000 over asking. And I'm like, you're part of the problem.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, you're part of the problem. Or you buy this property and you're buying a second property or a third property, and you're doing short-term leasing, or you're doing Airbnb. And a lot of people now, they can't afford to even pay the rent, let alone get a mortgage.
Yeah.
So if you can't get a mortgage and you can't afford to pay rent, what do you do?
Rob and steal? I don't know.
No, but that's not the answer either, because the government's not going to house you as far as going to jail, because they can't afford to house you.
They can't afford to do that either. You don't even get a free meal anymore. I don't know. I know that there's an awful lot of people, young people, I wouldn't want to be going through it today, because you come out of school with $100,000 in debt. The average house is $1 million. Jobs don't pay that well, and it's a challenge. I watch my daughter and son-in-law. It's a challenge. It takes two people to get by. It used to take one person to get by when I was a kid.
My daughter still lives. She's 24 years old. She still lives at home. Mm-hmm. We love to have her. Even though I sent her a video. I sent my daughter a video the other night, something I saw on TikTok. And this dad walking to his son's room and says, "Hey, son, we need you to take your stuff off the dinner table because we're getting ready to have dinner. And as a matter of fact, we need you to clean up this room." So the son was like, "Hey, Dad, you know what? Since I took on a couple of extra responsibilities and I'm paying for this and that, isn't this my room?" And the dad kind of looked at him and said, "Hold on a second. Let me." So he goes out, he comes back, he's got this portfolio with this agreement on. He said, "This is a lease agreement that your mother and I, we decided upon." And so they started talking about the mortgage, the insurance, you drive the car, you don't put gas in the car.
The utilities.
So we're going to need you to step up your game. So the son said, "Okay, Dad, I'll clean up my room." And so I sent that video to my daughter because all I asked her to do is vacuum the floor. And she never replied. So I was like, "Did you get that, the video that I sent you?" And she gave me that look.
We all know that look.
But again, for us, it was simple. The decision that we needed to make was simple. You either went to college, or you went to the military, or you did something. You work with your family or something. It was simple. Or you realized that you could actually get a job and work on that job for a little while, and maybe get a better job or advance in where you were. People are not staying on these jobs 10, 20, 30 years anymore.
No,
that doesn't exist. So we're living in a different time.
Totally different time.
So what kids are doing is they're taking on all of this debt. It's like a beast. And I call it debt. We call it credit in our society.
Yeah, it's a nice word.
Yeah.
Credit. Everybody wants credit. You want some credit? I'll have some credit.
Yeah, it's clean, homogenized. But debt turns into bondage.
Yeah.
The debt turns into bondage. You're a financial slave. Matter of fact, even on your job, we call it a wage slave.
Yeah.
And I used to say people trading time for money. I'm going to stop using that term, because what you're doing is you're trading your labor. You're trading your labor for money. And in our society, we're so programmed to focus on money and not focus on wealth. See, money and wealth are two different things. Money cannot make you rich. Never has, never will, because you could be making $300,000 a year and be spending $320,000 a year.
I know many that do.
Professional athletes. Okay.
Come out broke after they've made millions.
4 or 5 years because they were making that money. They had that income, but they didn't have wealth. Mm-hmm. Here's my definition of wealth. You're wealthy when the income from your assets exceeds the outgo from your liabilities and expenses.
So simple.
It's simple.
Basic math.
But again, people are not programmed to think about assets producing income. They're focused on getting a JOB, a job, which I call just over broke, to make money.
Say what is it again? Just over broke?
JOB, just over broke.
All right.
So
just over broke.
Right. Yeah. So when you go to work, you're doing just enough so you don't get fired.
Yeah.
And the employer is paying you just enough so that you don't quit. And so it's a ballet.
Just enough. I never thought of it that way.
So what you need to start focusing on as far as financial literacy is the asset column that's generating income. You're letting the money, you're letting your income labor for you.
But here's what I don't understand. You've talked about this many times. I'm going to ask you, keep asking many times. We want to train kids to be good citizens, to be good Americans, to be good contributors to society here. We don't teach them how to be good consumers. We don't teach them how to handle the money. I never have a course, had a course in typing in class. I guess that helped me something with all the keyboard stuff today. But I never took a financial management class.
Think about this, Paul.
Never.
Think about this.
Didn't offer it.
Think about this. When you start a job, the first thing that they do is they send you through some type of training.
Absolutely.
I served in the Army. I served in the Navy. They didn't just send me to the fleet or they didn't just send me to the field. I went through basic training.
You'd get killed if they
sent
you
up there. When you, again, I don't care if you're working for Google. They're going to train you the way they.
Absolutely.
But we don't do that with money.
No. Why? Why? Why is this mandatory? I had to take an SAT to get to college, and it was mostly math and reading. Was no money in there. I had to take my daughter, like your daughter, had to pass an exit exam to get out of high school to prove that they'd accumulated something here. No questions about money on that one.
if you learned how to manage your money, it would give you more options.
Yeah. That's really what wealth means to me at this age. I don't know that I'm wealthy. I don't think I am wealthy, but having wealth or anything, it's a choice. It doesn't buy you happiness, but it gives you a lot of more choices.
It gives you more, or like I said,
options, right?
Because, see, there's a difference between having wealth and being wealthy. And I'll give you an example. It costs you $10,000 a month to live.
Okay.
And you have, let's say your assets, your income producing assets are producing 5,000 of that 10,000, mm-hmm. which is half, 50%, where you have wealth coming in, but you're not wealthy because you can't live off of it.
Right.
So imagine now you have an income producing asset that's spitting out $11,000 a month and it costs you $10,000 to live. Based on my definition, at that point, you are wealthy mm-hmm. because the assets from your income is covering your liabilities and expenses.
Right.
And so we on a track when most people think about Social Security or they're thinking about their IRAs or 401ks and they want to contribute to those plans, which are savings plans for over 20 or 30 years, what they're looking at is creating a pool of money that they can live off of.
Right.
To whereas now maybe they don't have the mortgage, they don't have the car payment, all the expenses they didn't have, maybe their tax liability went up, but the income is sufficient from their asset to pay off their liabilities and their expenses. So therefore, they can call it retirement. Now I am retired. I just look at it as far as once you get to that point where you're wealthy, you're automatically retired. And you can do that at any age. You can do it in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, or even right. your 50s.
It doesn't mean you have to stop working, but doesn't you don't have to work.
You don't have to work. So now you, again, you have more options.
Right.
But you have this thing called a status quo.
Hmm.
And when you look at the BLS and their numbers, what they're saying is that the average income is about 59.
BLS, Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Okay. Bureau of Labor Statistics. And again, we're not pulling these numbers out of a hat. Right. These are facts. These are verifiable numbers.
Facts. Nobody has.
They're not alternative facts.
They all got alternative facts.
These are hard numbers. Yeah. But the BLS says people are, on average, are making about $59,000 a year. But again, and just looking at Business Insiders, if the average debt is $100,000 a year, guess what? You're running a deficit.
Yeah.
And so deficits are good for the government, but deficits are bad for individual households.
They can print money. I have to go get it.
Yeah. So my point is, you literally have to have two people that's making about $59,000 or $60,000 a year to create $100,000, $120,000 income just so you can stay ahead.
And that's what most people face, the two. We had somebody, I'll give you an interesting side note, had somebody in from First Five. It's a big county agency. They take millions of dollars that we collect because of the tax, whatever proposition we said we're going to tax cigarettes.
Okay.
And that money was supposed to go back to childhood education and health and welfare of the first 5 years of childhood. Part of that's health care, part of that's help and other sorts of educational training.
Yeah, that was the preschool program.
Yes. They said that in Orange County, like elsewhere, less than 5% of the people who need child care can even find it, much less afford it.
Yeah.
There's so few child care workers, particularly after the pandemic hit and their businesses were shut down. And they have a free program. They're trying to teach you how to be a child care worker out of your apartment, out of your home, whatever, because they know you'll be happier and you can make $100,000 a year doing it. Their calculation, if you watch right. 5, 6, 7, 8 kids, it's a win for them and it's a win-win for society. And because otherwise we're all hodgepodging. Grandma's going to watch it. Uncle's going to watch it. The neighbor's going to watch it. Nobody's going to watch them. And I got to take off sick because I got to run home. Because I got to pick up the kid from soccer practice. It's killing productivity. It's not raising children well. Too many of them are latchkey kids on their own, getting into trouble, all the dangers that ensues. It's not a good program. I didn't know it was that bad. And the only reason I bring it up is because you're talking about two people having to work. Because they both have to work, somebody can't stay home and watch the kid anymore.
And they can't afford the babysitter.
Can't afford
why,
the babysitter.
Why?
Or even find the babysitter.
Why? Right. They can, because of the debt. Because of debt. And what we're talking about is society evolving. And products and services will pop up based on that evolution.
Right.
Needs. And so you, because of the needs, right? So it's adapt or die. So you got programs like Crystal Stairs that will actually pay, compensate mothers and grandmothers and aunties and brothers to watch the kids so the people can go out and go to work.
That's like this program.
But people they're so straddled with debt. Going back to if your debt ratio is, if your total debt is $100,000, and you only have $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 coming in, you have a negative debt ratio. And so the perfect debt ratio should be about 10-20% of your income.
Okay. Whatever you make, 10-20% goes to the debt, the house, the food, the expenses.
Well, what we're talking about, if you take your income, you divide that by the total debt, it's going to give you a percentage. Right. So your total income, 10-20% should be going towards you paying off your debt. That's like what financial planners look at just based on a norm. But lenders, they'll let you maybe 30% or 36%. They don't want to see anything higher than that.
Your debt to income ratio.
It's a debt to income ratio. Exactly. We're just talking about basic arithmetic and accounting. But if your debt to income ratio is over 50%, you got a problem.
Not going to get a loan. Not going to get approved.
Not just not get a loan and get approved, but we're talking about your quality of life. Your standard of living, paycheck to paycheck. So now you're one emergency away from something catastrophic happening in your life and maybe having to file bankruptcy. When you look at your debt ratio, last time we had the show, we talked about as far as paying yourself first.
Right.
And that number should be about 10%.
Right. That's a radical idea because I usually pay myself last.
If you're talking about being wealthy and having a wealthy mindset, wealthy people don't do that. They pay their taxes last.
Yeah.
That's the last thing because income comes in first.
Right.
But the last thing that you're going to pay, last line item is tax. And then you offset that with legitimate business expenses.
You write that down.
That's not tax evasion. That's tax avoidance, which is legal. Mm-hmm. So when you're looking at your total overall income, and again, taxes is a part of that expense, what you're focusing on is paying myself first. That's the wealthy mindset. And wealthy people do what wealthy people do. If you want to be stuck in the middle class and stuck in the poor class, because we live in a class system.
I'm stuck in the no class. I got no class.
But again, you do what wealthy people do. And it's just a habit, Paul. That's all it is. You, in the beginning, just like going to the gym, your body may not want to do it.
Yeah. Oh.
But over a period of time, you create that habit.
What's the book you always like? The Habits, Seven Habits of...
I'm familiar with Stephen Covey as far as the Seven Habits of Successful People, right. Whatever it is. But for me, if you want to get your finances together, there's a book. You may spend about $6 for this book.
That's a lot. It's a big investment.
The Richest Man in Babylon.
You keep saying
that. The Richest Man in Babylon. There's a formula in that book. And so, again, I don't just pull stuff out of my hat. The formula
You're making this stuff up.
The formula is you pay yourself 10% of your income. You allocate 20% of your income for your debt. And the other 70%, that's what you live off of. So if you can't live off of 70% of your income, you got a problem.
So Tyrone, I got to point something out to you. Everybody listening out there, me included, ain't doing it. Why?
95% of the people are not doing it.
Yeah.
Five percent of the people.
The ratio makes sense. You laid it out, my knowledge. Go home. If I looked at it and was really honest with you, I'm not doing it. Probably nobody else listening is out there doing it.
The thing is, how
do we get sucked into not doing it? It makes it so simple. You lay it out pretty clear, pretty simple, basic math.
You have to want to. See, you have to get sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yeah.
And until that happens, you're going to continue to just chug along just like everybody else. And you're going to be comfortable because that's your lifestyle. And everybody's going to have the same aches and pains in that circle. So that becomes normal.
Favorite story of yours is you tell time and again, tell it again, the dog on the porch.
Oh, yeah. Just
that says it all. The dog on the porch.
Yeah, the salesman, door-to-door salesman, just going around selling goods and services and stuff. And he knocked on this. He tried to knock on this one door, and the guy comes out and they say, hey, I'm selling blah, blah, blah. I'm not interested. But this dog on the porch was just moaning and groaning. So he's trying to do his sales pitch and everything, but he's interrupted by this dog that's laying on the porch, moaning and groaning.
Ow.
So finally he asked, he said, "Sir, why is your dog sitting on this porch moaning and groaning? What's wrong with him?" He said, "Oh, that dog just over there laying down on a nail."
A nail.
So I said, "Why didn't he get up?" He said, "It doesn't hurt bad enough to get up. It hurts bad enough to moan and groan."
That says it all right there. We're all moaning and groaning, but we're not getting off the nail.
I want you to think about a lot of times when you're looking at certain holidays, families come together, Thanksgiving, Christmas and stuff, 4th of July. And a lot of times you're going to hear a lot of moaning and groaning.
Oh.
Because, again, they're in the same circle. So they're talking about the same thing. And it's always that one or two people that didn't show up because they don't want to be a part of a pity party.
Yeah.
Or when they do show up, they're trying to shed some light in the situation, and everybody else is telling them, "You don't know what you're talking about."
Is that you at the party? So are we talking about you at the party here?
I didn't want to project like that.
I think you're talking about you.
In fact, I didn't even know I was projecting. But again, it gets, when I first started, I heard this guy, his name was Charles Givens.
Okay.
And he wrote this book called Wealth Without Risk. Okay. And you always hear me, I'm talking about books. Because readers are leaders.
Nobody reads a book anymore.
Readers are leaders, and leaders are readers. And so there was a time when I did not like to read. I was embarrassed to read in front of a crowd. I was embarrassed to even speak in front of a crowd.
Not alone.
But I had to get over that. I had to get over myself. And so when I first heard this guy talking about wealth without risk and paying yourself first, I was like, how in the heck can I pay myself first when I don't even have enough money to do the things I want to do? All of my bills. I'm paying all of my bills.
Exactly.
So the issue was,
I got to pay this. I pay myself when I can.
So I ended up having a mindset shift. It was a way of thinking, because it finally dawned on me, wait a minute, I'm working all of these hours, and the only thing I'm focused on is paying bills. When I realized I also had a choice and an option of paying myself first.
You realized you've just been laying on a nail and you can get up and move.
Absolutely. So when I started to pay myself first, and even in The Richest Man in Babylon, there's a quote. It says, "I found the road to wealth when I decided that a part of all I earned was mine to keep." And it changed. Once I understood that, it just changed my life. So now I began to have the reserves, meaning that if something catastrophic in my life happened, I had the reserves to take care of it. So it gave me a peace of mind of knowing that I didn't have to worry about certain things. I didn't have to worry about money. And then once you start saving for a goal. And so if you're a consumer, a lot of times your goal is to consume more.
Right.
So it's to get a bigger house, to get a bigger car, to spend more money. Mm-hmm. But once you get that wealthy mindset, the goal is to use that money to invest in something that's going to generate income.
Yeah. I wish I'd had that investment mentality a long time ago.
We all do.
I told the famous story. My famous story, I'll tell it again, is I think I'm 30. I'm thinking I'm big success. I'm driving a big car, which I'm renting. I'm renting a big house with some buddies. I'm renting my girlfriend's probably for the weekend. I'm renting everything. And somebody said, "What's your net worth?" I said, "What's that?" I said, "How much do you have?" I looked around. I had nothing. Everything was on debt. Everything was on a payment plan, an installment plan. I didn't own anything.
Here's the sad part about what you just said, though. I could deal with somebody that has a zero net worth.
That was me, 30.
A zero net worth, because again, you're at the foundation and you can build on that.
Right.
The problem is most people have a negative net worth.
Yeah, I did not have a negative net worth. I had a zero net worth.
So again, you're in a better position than most people are. So there's always a silver lining when you understand the process. And so then all you have to do is make a few adjustments. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you're focusing on your asset column and not your income column. Mm-hmm. Because most people have a job and they're laboring to generate money so that they can do what? Pay bills, not have a job so I can save 10% of my income that I can put into my asset column that's eventually replacing the income.
This doesn't sound un-American to me, Tyrone. This sounds like some foreign ideology here. You're going to get me to save and invest and generate income without my labor?
Today, what we want you to do is we want you to focus on your debt ratio and understand what a debt to income ratio is. Just look at your debt to income ratio, meaning that divide that income by that debt, by the total debt that you have, car payments, utilities, anything, a liability.
Insurance.
When we're talking about liabilities, no. When we're talking about liabilities, we're talking about borrowed money.
Yes.
Okay.
Your house, your car.
Your expenses are based on your utilities and things like that.
All right. Okay.
So we're looking at basically like loans, things like credit cards. Today, people don't even look at a credit card as being you're borrowing money. You're just using a card.
Credit. They gave it to me. They said, go buy something with it. And I did.
So understand you have a debt to income ratio, whether you it's just like somebody having faith and believing. I don't care if somebody believes in gravity or not. It is.
It's going to grab you.
It is. It's going to do what it's going to do. So right. I don't care about somebody's belief system anymore. I think it is what it is. So when you look at a debt to income ratio, you may not believe that you have a debt to income ratio, but I'm telling you have one. And so what you want to do is make sure that number is under 20%. And if it's not under 20%, this is what I want you to do.
Okay.
Let's say you have three credit cards, four credit cards.
I got more than that.
Look at the highest interest rate that you're paying on a card. And the reason being, I don't look at it. Some people say take the lowest as far as the card that has the lowest charge on it.
Right.
As far as your credit limit.
Right.
And imagine your credit limit is, let's say, $5,000. I'm just being hypothetical.
Okay.
And you already got $3,000 on the card. Mm-hmm. Okay. But then you have another card that you got $6,000 on. Look at that balance. So when you look at the balance, some people say we want to pay off the lowest balance card because what we want to do is we want to have that sense of accomplishment.
Right.
That we paid something off.
Right.
And now we don't have that monthly payment. I just do it in reverse because I look at the interest rate because it's that highest interest rate that's taking money out of your pocket. Mm-hmm. So what you want to do is get rid of that the highest interest rate liabilities that you have. And then start working on the other, work your way down. And once you get rid of one card, don't start charging up those cards again. Pay off the second one.
It's
pay
empty.
Off the third one.
It's gotta
pay off the
filled.
Fourth one. But you can't do it without having a purpose. You can't do it without having a plan.
You know what? I'm gonna see if I can bring this to a conclusion. I can't do it without help. I can hear all day long, but I need somebody to help me. I need a coach. I need somebody walking over me saying, what are you doing?
I have one of the best financial debt reduction plans in the country.
Really?
World class. But if you don't take the time to go to my app, and
that's
it's free.
Crazy. That's what's
if
crazy.
You don't take the time to go to the app and get this information, this is just words that's going in one ear and out the other.
Exactly. They're listening, they're nodding, and they're going about the business.
So if you want coaching, if you want somebody that's made all the mistakes,
I need
and came out on the other end, there's two things that I want you to do. I'd want you to go to TyroneFrench.coach, okay? TyroneFrench.coach, or text Tyrone French to 36260. Again, text Tyrone French to 36260. This is not going to cost you any money. Download that app. Start communicating with me. Plug into my wealth reduction system, plug into my financial wellness platforms, and then just do the thing. Because Emerson said, do the thing and you will have the power. But they that do not the thing have not the power. So success is something that you attract. It's something that you attract. But nothing from nothing creates nothing.
I heard that song.
Nothing from nothing.
I remember that song. I've been living that song. All right. I think that's it. You can talk all day long, and you do, and I know you get off the air and you're frustrated. Did I reach anybody? Did I shake them? You're like an old evangelical minister. You get me excited for 5 minutes, and I fall back right into my sin.
No, Paul, let me tell you, I'm at a stage in my life where I'm at peace. Every day is another opportunity to work on my health. And so for me, it was three things that I focused on. Happiness, health, and wealth. Happiness, health, and wealth. So I'm one of the happiest guys you're ever going to meet. And wealthy, I don't worry about money. I don't even think about money. It's not even an issue.
Never stop thinking about money.
Because again, how much is enough?
Yeah.
People that they're chasing the dollars and people say, I want to be a billionaire. Why do you want to be a billionaire? Why do you want to be a millionaire? Why do you want to be a thousandaire? You have your own internal number, just like a thermostat in your house.
Yeah,
and you,
I think
that, they do. It's set. So once you hit that, anything above that is gravy.
Yeah.
But I don't have to worry about something catastrophic happening in my life and I can't take care of it. So that's a good feeling. I heard Bob Proctor say one day, well, you don't have to think about money anymore. Most of the things, over 80% of the worries that you had, they dissipate. They go away.
Because it's most always nagging at the back.
Because most people are focused on they're focused on bad debt and not good debt.
So there's help, folks. You heard it here for free. What's the number? Who they text?
They're going to text Tyrone French to 36260 or www.tyronefrench.coach. If you want to send me an email, just coach@tyronefrench.com or leave me a message 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, call 877-296-5192.
Wouldn't it be nice if everybody left your message and said, I finally got up and got off the nail?
Here's the thing, though.
I'm not moaning anymore.
Paul, I work with the willing.
Yeah.
I work with the willing.
Can't force that dog off the nail.
No, you can't.
It bites you.
I tell you what, this is what I want people to remember. I want people to know that closing the wealth gap is ordinary wealth for everyday people.
That's our show for this week, Closing the Wealth Gap. The one show, the only show that shows you how to take control of your financial future. Right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio.